After weeks of hearings and hundreds of hours of testimony, a big announcement.
Today, in service to our duty to the Constitution and to our country, the House Committee on the Judiciary is introducing two articles of impeachment, charging the President of the United States, Donald J. Trump, with committing high crimes and misdemeanors.
But there is some common ground. House Democrats say they're on board with the U.S. trade deal with Mexico and Canada.
The Democrats were able to give Trump a victory, but only by announcing it on the same day as the articles of impeachment.
It's Tuesday, December 10th. This is the PM edition of What's News from the Wall Street Journal. I'm Anne Marie Fertoli in New York. Attorney General William Barr is criticizing the FBI's investigation into connections between the Trump campaign and Russia. A report released yesterday from the Justice Department's Inspector General found no evidence that political bias influenced the inquiry and determined that the FBI was justified in opening the investigation. Speaking at the Wall Street Journal's CEO Council today, Barr called the watchdog's probe a travesty and said it was opened on flimsy evidence. He's appointed federal prosecutor John Durham to look into the origins of the Russia investigation as well.
I think he will have a broader appreciation of all the facts, and a determination can be made. I don't know what the motivations were, and I'm not saying they were improper motivations, but I think it's premature to rule definitively there wasn't.
We report in a Wall Street Journal exclusive that U.S. and Chinese trade negotiators are planning for a delay in the latest round of tariffs, which are set to kick in on December 15th. Officials in Beijing and Washington have signaled that Sunday isn't the final day for reaching phase one of a trade deal. But the White House isn't confirming that plan. White House economic advisor Larry Kudlow speaking at our CEO Council meeting today.
Those tariffs are still on the table, the December 15 tariffs, and the president has indicated if the short strokes remaining negotiations do not pan out to his liking, that those tariffs could go back into place. So they could not, but they also could. There is no definitive decision on that yet.
For our full coverage, head to WSJ.com. The University of California is being sued by students and community groups who want the school to drop the SAT and ACT exams. The lawsuit alleges by requiring standardized tests for admissions, the university system discriminates against low-income students and racial minorities. This comes amid a wider debate about fairness in college admissions. More than 1,000 colleges and universities, including the University of Chicago, have made SAT and ACT scores optional. The College Board, which administers the SAT, has also struggled with how to account for the impact students' backgrounds may have on their test performance. Law enforcement officials say multiple people, including a police officer, were killed during a standoff with at least one gunman in a Jewish grocery store in Jersey City, New Jersey, this afternoon. Jersey City Director of Public Safety James Shea says there's no evidence that the shooting was an act of terrorism. The shooting erupted after New Jersey police and law enforcement officials responded to reports of an active shooter situation. The gunfire prompted businesses and schools to go into lockdown. For more on this developing story, please head to our website, WSJ.com. House Democrats announced two articles of impeachment against President Trump, including abuse of power. Judiciary Committee Chair Gerald Nadler made the announcement.
It is an impeachable offense for the president to exercise the powers of his public office to obtain an improper personal benefit while ignoring or injuring the national interest. That is exactly what President Trump did when he solicited and pressured Ukraine to interfere in our 2020 presidential election, thus damaging our national security, undermining the integrity of the next election, and violating his oath to the American people.
The second article relates to obstruction of Congress. Democrats allege President Trump prevented at least 9 officials from testifying and blocked the federal government from sharing documents with lawmakers. Joining me now is Wall Street Journal reporter Siobhan Hughes. Siobhan, what can you tell us about Democrats' strategy in narrowing down to 2 articles of impeachment against the president?
Democrats had a couple of big goals. They wanted to keep their caucus together, and they wanted to present a case to the American people that was clear and not muddled. Both of those goals help explain why Democrats limited their articles of impeachment to only 2, focusing on obstruction of Congress and abuse of power. What was left out was a charge of obstruction of justice. And what's significant about that is obstruction of justice is the charge that would have covered Donald Trump's actions as detailed in Special Counsel Robert Mueller's report. In that report, Mr. Mueller painted a picture of a president who obstructed justice on at least 5 occasions, according to an analysis by Democrats and others. That includes trying to get then White House counsel Don McGahn to force Robert Mueller out of office, to basically take him off of the probe. And then in other cases, to try to get Mr. Mueller to narrow his probe so that it focused only on future meddling and on what happened in 2016. For a lot of Democrats, especially the 31 Democrats in districts that Donald Trump won, that would have been a bridge too far. It would have been a stretch. Some of those Democrats had said the only reason they were willing to vote for articles of impeachment this time was because of the Ukraine probe, not because of anything that had happened before then. And Nancy Pelosi wanted to keep her caucus together.
I'm glad you mentioned that because, of course, this impeachment inquiry is proceeding against the backdrop of heading into the 2020 elections. And I'm curious how much that plays into the calculus here in terms of which articles to seek and how far Democrats are willing to go here.
Democrats have publicly stated that their motivations are not at all political, that they are acting out of a desire to really stand up for the Constitution. But it's pretty clear that electoral politics are certainly in the backdrop and that it does help Democrats limit their risk by focusing only on 2 articles of impeachment. It inoculates them from charges that Democrats are broadly negative against Mr. Trump and are willing to throw an entire book at him without thoughtfulness or consideration.
Siobhan, as we look forward to potentially seeing this on the House floor, how might those electoral politics play out there?
Well, in a couple of ways. Most prominently, the politics will play out in terms of the number of votes that House Democrats amass. Nancy Pelosi has a reputation for never bringing something to the floor that won't pass. She said, unless you're passing legislation or resolutions, all you're doing is having a conversation. But there is still the risk that some of those 31 Democrats could break with her. So what we are watching for are the numbers of Democrats who end up defecting.
And then both parties have been saying that the Senate is unlikely to impeach the president. We would need a 2-thirds majority there.
Exactly. And Republicans have 53 votes in the Senate compared with 47 for Democrats. So what this means is a full 20 Republicans would have to side with Democrats and vote to convict the president, which is why that seems unlikely. Now, Democratic Senator Chris Murphy gave a very interesting interview last week in which he said he thought as many as 5 Republicans might side with Democrats and vote in favor of a conviction. So that would show a party rift that would be significant, but clearly a far cry from the numbers needed for a conviction of President Trump.
Wall Street Journal reporter Siobhan Hughes keeping us up to date on all the impeachment proceedings, joining us from Capitol Hill. Thank you so much, Siobhan.
Good to be here.
House Democrats had another big announcement Tuesday. They're supporting the new trade deal between the U.S., Canada, and Mexico. Representatives from the 3 nations signed an amended deal in Mexico City this afternoon. Replacing NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement, was one of President Trump's key campaign pledges. Joining me now from Washington with more details is Wall Street Journal reporter Will Malden. Will, what finally brought Democrats around to this deal?
Well, they were unhappy with the deal that President Trump and U.S. Trade Representative Bob Lighthizer originally brought from Canada and Mexico. They wanted better enforceability tools or enforcement tools for the labor rules in the trade deal. Essentially, they felt that Mexico couldn't necessarily be trusted to live up to the new labor rules in USMCA, which were basically very much improved from the U.S. point of view on the sort of elementary labor rules in the original NAFTA. So they wanted to boost the enforcement ability of that. And there were some loopholes in enforcement in USMCA. They wanted to close those. But it took a lot of back and forth, and it took a lot of choreography and timing to get that done. They also had some other demands on drug prices and pharmaceutical provisions.
So let's dive into some of the details about these provisions. The deal does include pledges from Mexico to update its labor rules, as you've mentioned, and new rules for the auto industry. Tell us some more about the major provisions.
Well, the main thing for the auto industry is breathing a sigh of relief, because backing in both parties for USMCA means that NAFTA will continue, and NAFTA is what allowed them to make cars using three countries. Parts move back and forth across the border, et cetera. Auto companies are happy about that, but they will have to deal with some tougher rules about where the cars come from, where the steel comes from. More of that has to be in North America. There's some rules on that we haven't even seen the details of yet, as well as, you know, what percentage of the components of a vehicle, of the content, has to come from North America is moved up to about 75% versus, you know, about 63% in the original NAFTA. Besides the auto industry, there are obviously key agricultural provisions to safeguard that duty-free farm goods trade, especially between the U.S. and Mexico. Canada is opening up a bit to a little bit more American dairy products without facing their large tariffs and the way that dairy market is protected up in Canada. On drugs and pharmaceuticals, the Democrats were able to strip out a USMCA provision that would have defended the intellectual property for biologic drugs for a minimum of 10 years. This is a big defeat for the large drug makers, but it will benefit generic makers and perhaps keep drug prices from being as high internationally. And finally, there's some rules for technology to allow the free flow of data and some currency rules that aren't so important for Mexico in Canada, but could be very valuable in future trade agreements with Asian countries or China that have some issues in those areas.
Getting Democrats to come aboard is also a victory for President Trump, who had pledged to rewrite the North American Free Trade Agreement. What are you hearing from the administration today?
There's a comment from Vice President Pence, who's gone around the country lobbying for USMCA, and it's like, oh, it's about time the Democrats acquiesce to our deal. President Trump has been fairly hands-off, just sort of putting general pressure on Pelosi and calling them the do-nothing Democrats. He had a comment saying they believed they were close and that there was some union support earlier today. But, of course, he threatened to get rid of NAFTA altogether or pull the U.S. out of it. So that put a lot of pressure on folks to get started in the talks. He also put steel tariffs on Canada and Mexico that he later removed and threatened car tariffs. So those actions were pressure to get things moving at the negotiating table. The Democrats were able to give Trump a victory, but only by announcing it on the same day as the articles of impeachment.
That is true. Important to note. Wall Street Journal reporter Will Malden joining me from Washington. Thank you so much, Will.
Thank you.
And that's what's news for this Tuesday afternoon. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.